that has to do with affirmative action. That is, as fellow Christians work to serve the Lord, we grow in our appreciation for them, and we should affirm them in their Christian service. As fellow Christians work to serve the Lord, we can grow. We grow in our appreciation for them, and we should affirm them in their Christian service. So please stand as we read from the Word of God. We'll back up and begin to read actually from Romans 16, verse 1. Hear the Word of God and receive it. Apostle Paul, under the Spirit's inspiration, says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church in Centuria. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and give her any help she may need from you, for she has been a great help to many people, including me. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. Not only I, but all the churches of the Gentiles are grateful to them. Then he says, greet also the church that meets in their house. And then we begin a long series of greetings with some unusual names. I hope they don't become stumbling blocks to you. But there's some warm greetings that Paul gives to these believers. He says, greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to church in the province of Asia. Greet Mary, who worked very hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives, our fellow Jews, who have been in prison with me. They're outstanding among the apostles, and they were in Christ before I was. Greet Ampliatus, whom I love in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my relative, or fellow Jew. Greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, those women who work hard in the Lord. Greet my dear friend Persis, another woman who has worked very hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ send their greetings. This ends the reading for this morning. Please be seated. When you become part of a church, you and your family, you choose a particular church that you desire to be associated with. You make the choice, you and your family. But one of the things that you discover is that you don't decide who the other members are going to be. You can't and you don't decide who the other members of your church are going to be. Thus, you may find yourselves in a very varied and situation with a lot of different kinds of people sitting around you, people who may come and go, and that pulse or temperature of that congregation may vary from time to time. But it'll be a wide variety of people, people that you may not have personally chosen to be among, people who may have come after your association with the church. For people that you find yourself in a very unlikely combination, perhaps, due to our differences. Well, as we look at this passage, we discover something about appreciation for a wide variety of Christians. I ask the question here is that who were the fellow Christians Paul had come to appreciate during his ministry? Specifically, who had Paul come to appreciate here in this context of Romans chapter 16. And what we discover as we look at this passage is that Paul had learned to appreciate a wide variety of fellow believers. Some of them were women, some men, slaves, free, rich or not so rich, Jews, Paul had come to appreciate fellow Jews and Gentiles. He had appreciation for those who are weak or strong in the Lord. And we see some of that here in this passage of Romans chapter 16. Now, first of all, we'll look at some of the women. We're going to kind of be jumping around this morning, so you may have to concentrate a little bit more. I think the message is pretty plain and on the surface, but if you want details, you're going to have to follow a little more closely. Well, some of the women that Paul had grown to appreciate, he mentions here in this section. Look at verse 6, he mentions Mary. We're not sure which Mary that is, but there was about six of them in the Bible, and this is one. Apparently, he greets there at Rome. We see in verse 12, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Some feel they probably were, with names like that, they might have been sisters or perhaps even twin sisters, like Alex, Andrew, that kind of a name. We don't know for sure, but he mentions them, and he mentions Persis in verse 12. These were women, as we can see clearly from that verse. He mentions Rufus' mother in verse 13. Verse 15, he mentions Nero's sister. And then verses 1 and 3, he mentions Phoebe and then Priscilla. And there are others, women probably in here. Sometimes it's hard to tell whether the person's a woman or a man. You know, certain names can lend themselves, like Sandy maybe is often a woman's name, but many times it's like a man's name. Sandy Sanderson, Sandy Koufax, that kind of thing. But there's a group of women that Paul had grown to appreciate in the church. You know, some accused Paul of being a male chauvinist, that he was partial to men. But frequently we see Paul commending and acknowledging women, females, long before women's liberation ever came into existence. And here we see him commending, as he opens his passage, chapter 16, commending highly Phoebe and Priscilla and others throughout the passage. Then we also see Paul, who had grown in his appreciation for the men mentioned here. We see in verse 3, he mentions Aquila. In verse 7, Andronicus. Verse 11, Herodian, who may, by the way, have been the grandson of Herod the Great. Verse 13, Rufus, who may have been the son of Simon, who carried Jesus' cross. Rufus is mentioned elsewhere in Mark 15:21. May have been the same man here in Rome at this point. And there are others throughout the passage that we see that Paul had grown to appreciate. Besides these broad categories of men and women, Paul growing in his appreciation for them, we see in verse 5, he mentions Epaphroditus, who was the first believer in Asia, first Christian in Asia. In verse 5, he says, "Greet my dear friend Epaphroditus, who was the first convert to Christ in the province of Asia." Verses 8 through 10, we see people who were probably slaves. In verses 8 to 10, he mentions Ampliatus, Urbanus, Stachys, and Apelles. These were common slave names in the Roman Empire. And so it's well likely that they themselves were slaves, either slaves then or freed from slavery, but having these names. And verses 14 and 15 are also names frequently used among slaves during that period. But Paul had come to appreciate this group of believers. Then he mentions in verse 11, the household of Narcissus. And if that's the same Narcissus that's mentioned outside of the Bible, in biblical records, it's likely to have been a wealthy household. Again, we can't say absolutely, but if it's the same one, it was a wealthy household. And Phoebe, as we know from this section, was a great helper. She apparently had a lot of energy and a lot of resources to do some kind of ministry to help people on an ongoing basis. She herself may have been a patroness of great wealth. We know in other portions of Scripture that Paul speaks to wealthy believers that they're to share in their wealth. And so we see Paul did have contact with wealthy believers, and he had grown to appreciate them. He also mentions his relatives, really probably meaning his fellow Jews, in verse 7, 11, and 21. Verse 7, he says, "Greet Andronicus and Junius, my relatives." Well, he says the same thing of Herodian in verse 11. He calls them relatives in the NIV. If you go back to chapter 9, verse 3, it's the same word. And there, in that context, where it was used most recently in this section of Romans, there it means fellow Jews. Relatives related, that is, in their Jewishness. And so it well may mean not simply, or not literally blood relatives like cousins, but probably a reference to his being related to them as Jewish believers. So we see that Paul had an appreciation for a wide variety of people that he acknowledged here in this passage. He mentions Jews and Gentiles, wealthy and poor, slaves, free, male and female. And again, he had appreciated people with a wide variety of different backgrounds and experiences. Now, as you call a few sermons ago, I mentioned Pastor Harry Reeder in Florida, and who was in a dying church situation. He called these experts in to help him revive this church. And their advice was that, look, this church is dead for all practical reasons, and you've got to close the doors or you've got to relocate, because the people in this community are too diverse. There's too great a variety. They had all these different immigrants moving into the area with vastly differences in their backgrounds and in their understanding and their practices of everyday living. And so these church experts said, close the doors or relocate. Get a homogeneous church, one that people are of the same, more of the same kind of mindset and the same kind of background, etc. Well, as you know, he thought God was a lot bigger than the church experts, and he prayed and worked and trusted the Lord. And some of the strangest people, so to speak, were brought together, and this dying church of just a handful grew into 1,900 people and is doing a tremendous, effective work for the Lord and such a wide variety of believers in that Florida area. Well, we shouldn't find that surprising when you think about it, because didn't the Lord Jesus have a wide variety of people in mind when he came to die in this earth? Jesus had an appreciation for a wide variety of people of greatly different backgrounds. And he came to embrace these people as a whole. He wrote Revelation chapter 5 in that familiar passage. It says this is of Christ. It says, quote, you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God, people from every tribe and language and people and nation. And so we can grow in our appreciation for fellow believers. We may not choose ourselves initially to be in this group of believers. We may not, in other words, we might not fix this combination ourselves, but the church that God places us in, however it changes in complexity, we can grow in our appreciation for a wide number of believers, and I believe the number is infinite according to the infinite grace of God. We can grow to appreciate one another. Well, how do we grow to value and appreciate one another more? How can we grow in our appreciation? Well, first of all, we need to go back to basics. How did Paul grow in his appreciation for these various believers there at Rome? Well, first of all, if we go back to basics, we can see that we're all connected in Christ. That's where we have to go first, to remember that we're all connected together in Christ. It's our relationship to the Lord that gives us that common appreciation for one another. And look in verse 3. He mentions Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers. Then he says the phrase, in Christ Jesus. It's not just fellow workers, but workers in Christ Jesus. In verse 5, when he mentions Epaphras, the first convert, it wasn't just a convert, he was a convert to Christ, he says. And so there's a connection to Christ that they had in common. Or Ampliatus, he says, whom I love in the Lord. Or verse 9, Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ. Verse 10, Apelles, tested and approved in Christ. Verse 11, greet those in the household of Narcissus who are in the Lord. And so we can learn to value one another and learn to appreciate one another more as we first of all, go back to basics one. if we're faulty in our appreciation for each other at this point, let's go back to the roots. Look, we're united together. Every believer in this room, whether you chose to be in this room with this person or not, you came to church, but there's all these other people here too. Well, you are united with that believer in Jesus Christ. And that's something that should help us to begin to grow in our appreciation. If Christ has embraced that person, then there certainly should be room in our hearts and our lives to embrace also. Well, additionally to that basic bond for growing, we can grow in our appreciation also as we see fellow Christians working hard in the Lord. We can go beyond just appreciation that we're fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. We can go beyond that by, as we see fellow Christians working and serving the Lord. Notice Paul observed and he saw fellow believers working for the Lord. Look in verse 6. When he mentions Mary, it's not just as a fellow believer. She was one who worked very hard for the Lord. Urbanus, verse 9, was a fellow worker. Or verse 12, Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis, all three, they worked hard in the Lord. You know, as your kids grow up, some of you have kids that are long gone, some of you don't have any, but those of us who are still raising them, we notice their accomplishments. You know, as they grow up, they eventually, some of them decide to take out the trash or do the dishes around the house. They might make their bed or clean their room or help in various fashions around the house. And as a result, what happens? We learn to appreciate them for their contributions. The same way when kids go to school and they come back, you know, we notice that they bring grades, they bring these papers back, or maybe you're teaching them at home, and when they finish a task, you know, they may have done an excellent job. And so we learn to appreciate that they expended themselves in this particular area to excel. You know, earlier this week, I was concerned about the basement because after the service, we're having refreshments. And I was especially concerned about the floor, whether or not everything was going to get ready for the service. And I know it needed a serious scrubbing. It had been scrubbed a number of times. But it needed a serious scrubbing and a coat of wax. And they didn't have it Friday when I left here. But yesterday, when I came over, late yesterday, I went downstairs. And I grew an appreciation for somebody. When you go downstairs, you'll appreciate somebody's hard work. I looked at that floor about a week ago or so, and I thought, you know, it'd be nice. We probably should replace this. But then when I flipped the lights on last night and I thought, did someone put a new floor down there? I mean, there's plenty more work to be done, or a lot of things that aren't done down here. But you can see the hard work that someone has invested, many of you have invested, into making the basement look as sharp as it does. And I praise God for that. And I have grown in my appreciation for those of you who invested yourself into the facility. So whatever, however people are serving the Lord, as we see them serving God in whatever fashion, that helps us to bond with them more deeply and to appreciate them more fully. Notice in verse 6 when he mentions Mary, it's not just she worked for the Lord, but she was working hard for the Lord. The same with Tryphena, Tryphosa, and Persis in verse 12. These women were hard workers for the Lord. And Paul appreciated what they had done. You know, most of the adult world gets up and goes to work. The kids get up and they go to do their schooling work. But how many of us are not just working, either at school or in our work? How many of us are working hard for the Lord? And it's when we go beyond just work, but when we do hard work for the Lord, we really throw ourselves into it wholeheartedly. When we can even grow in our appreciation for one another, when we see people who are really sacrificing themselves to serve God. Well, that's what Paul saw in some of these women here and others in this passage. I must admit, however, that sometimes people don't appreciate when we work hard for the Lord. In fact, sometimes, occasionally, you'll hear someone telling us to not work so hard. I remember one case, a real living person came to me and said, you know, that people at work were discouraging him for working hard. They said, look, you know, says, look, where are your fellow employees? If you're going to work this hard and this diligently, it's going to make the rest of us look bad. And the boss is going to require more of all of us. Well, it might make some of the rest of the employees look bad. But, and the boss might start expecting more from everyone. But let me say this. If you're working hard to serve God, God is pleased. And God's not going to be mad. God tells us to work with all our heart and to love Him with all our soul and mind and strength. Scripture says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, knowing that your work in the Lord is not in vain. And so we sometimes maybe discouraged. People try to discourage us from working hard, but scripturally, we know that's the proper thing to do. And anyway, how can we show our appreciation for fellow Christians who have demonstrated that they're hard working for the Lord? How can we demonstrate our appreciation? We've observed people serving the Lord, throwing themselves into God's service. How can we demonstrate that we are thankful for what they've done? Last week we talked about that we should thank them. We saw the first few verses in this section. But how do we show our appreciation? Well, we can show our appreciation by affirming them in their Christian service. We say, well, how do we affirm someone in his Christian service? How do we put a positive stamp of approval, if you will, in what someone is doing? Well, we can do it by, first of all, acknowledging their presence. We can affirm people in Christian service. That is, we can say we observe what you're doing, we like what you're doing, we're appreciative of God for who you are in your relationship to God. And we can do it by beginning to acknowledge one another's presence. Notice when Paul speaks here, he mentions a long list of people by name. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Greet Mary, greet Andronicus, greet Ampliatus, greet Urbanus, and so forth and so forth. He acknowledges these believers' presence in room. Have you ever been in a room of people, maybe just a small room of people, and somebody says hi to the person next to you on your left, and they say hi to the person on your right, but they don't say anything to you? Doesn't it make you feel great? Feel horrible, like crawling under a bench. Paul was very good at acknowledging believers, especially believers who had been working for the Lord. And it's an awful feeling when we come into a room and it's a small enough room where we have a chance to interact with each other, and we act as if other people aren't even in the room. And I think a lot of times it's because we don't know their name. And they don't know ours, and so it's a lot more comfortable just to kind of turn your head and walk away. Because we don't want to embarrass ourselves by this point. Maybe we should know their name, or vice versa. And so, well, we need to get over those feelings. You know, it's a lot better if we can just humble ourselves and say, look, you know, I always say something like, you know, my mind's like a sieve. You know, and everything you tell me will go through it. And it might be that way the rest of my life. So I might have to keep coming back and asking you what your name is. But you got to help me in this matter. But anyway, I think it begins with humbling ourselves. If we're going to acknowledge one another's presence, in their service to the Lord, we got to acknowledge our existence, first of all. We exist, and we have names. Everybody in the room has a name. And that's basic steps of acknowledging one another, saying one another's names, trying to learn one another's names. All right, you know, we're in a small enough church, I really believe that if we're here over long enough period of time, you know, I don't see why we shouldn't be able to know just about everybody in the congregation at this point. If you get bigger, maybe it would be a lot more difficult. And I'm not trying to make anybody feel guilty. But I want to say that, you know, you're in the room with fellow Christians. They have a relationship with God. You have a relationship with God. Acknowledge them. Say hi to them. Ask them their name. Learn their names. And that's the beginning point. Paul greeted quite a few people here by names. And then he says, at the end, he says, greet one another with a holy kiss. You know, in our culture, we wouldn't normally kiss one another. But occasionally we will, and special close friends of ours. But in the first century, the men kissed the men as a practice. The women would kiss the women. An expression of acknowledgement of one another and affirming one another's existence as and their relationship with God and relationship to each other. Well, we need to greet each other. We need to be shaking hands. I feel embarrassed sometimes. We do have a custom of shaking hands. But I feel embarrassed sometimes because we come together and we don't shake hands. I'm not saying I'm making it a mandatory rule, but we need to, you know, affirm each other. We can do it with a handshake. We can pat each other on the back or give each other a hug or whatever it needs, whatever those feelings are, to show that we are brothers in the Lord and that we're here together to do the Lord's service. And so we affirm each other's existence when we greet one another in various ways. But Paul went on beyond the greetings, though. He not only greeted them by name, he not only encouraged them to embrace one another, but he made a positive statement about almost everybody in this passage. He made a positive statement about them. He affirmed them by saying something very affirmative about them. Look at verse 5. Epaphroditus, he calls a dear friend. Stachys in verse 9, Perseus and Amphilatus, he says, also dear friends they loved. Verse 6, Mary, he tells them, look, you worked hard in the Lord. Andronicus and Junius, verse 7, look, they were in prison with me. They stood out among the apostles. It probably means that they stood out in the apostles' opinion. Rufus' mother, well, she had been like a mom to him. He said something positive about her ministry toward Paul. Apelles, what's he say about him in verse 10? A positive statement about what he was doing. He was attested and approved in Christ. Apparently, whoever Apelles was had gone through some trial. He was tested and approved. Paul said before the other Roman believers, look, this man's tested and approved. Greet him. What he means is that he went through a difficult time, or many difficult times, but he's still faithful to God. He still proved that he is reliable and trustworthy, that he's trusting God in the process. These times hasn't destroyed his life. You know, in the same way, that's what we need to do among our congregation. Some of you are doing it. Not to have your attention for 1 minute. Listen. All the people in this room have gone through difficult times. Some have especially gone through trials, lost their loved ones. Some serious physical problem that they've gone through. And yet, there they are, still trusting the Lord, still going on, still living for God and serving Him. We need to say, look, you've been through hard times. You've been tested. You've been approved. God's grace is upon you. We're thankful for you in our midst. Paul says about Apelles, he says, this man has been tested and approved in Christ. So basically the point here is that let's affirm one another. The grace of God that has touched our lives and that is obvious to the rest of us, let's point it out. Let's affirm one another to notice that grace and to affirm each other in how God has blessed us and used us to serve Him. Well, the lesson, as I close here, what's the lesson? Simple. As we work side by side to serve the Lord, we grow in our appreciation for one another. And as we grow in our appreciation for one another, let's acknowledge and let's affirm each other so that we'll stay encouraged to keep serving God. Let me just say, though, that even though other people may not affirm you, that's likely not to, you might live serve for a while. Even though others might not affirm you, let me say, the Lord affirms you. As you serve Him, as you work hard to live for Him in service to Him, The Lord notices what you're doing, and He says, you are blessed from heaven. Scripture says that whoever works for the Lord, whoever labors for Him, his labors are not in vain. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for this passage, the Apostle Paul, these greetings that he's given to the Roman Church. We pray that You would help us to understand more of the dynamic of farming people, of living side by side with fellow Christians who are serving You. We pray that we would be able to keep encouraging one another in the work that we are doing, serving You. We pray that Your grace would rest upon us from on high in this task. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen.